Just moving to our final couple of minutes. We're not going to have a vote, incidentally. I know some of you wanted a vote. Do you really want to vote? Because I wanted a bit of a vote. You know, because I thought if we have a vote, then whichever side wins, we could either go out to the sound of John Lennon's Imagine or Graham Kendrick's Shine, Jesus, Shine. And, you know, we could all bop out together. But we're not going to have... No vote. Because you're too intelligent an audience to need a vote. Your minds have... Anybody changed their mind yet in the course of the evening? And courageous enough to put your hand up. Has anybody changed their mind on this question? Christianity is holding Northern Ireland back. Anybody? Either way. Well, hasn't this been useful? Welcome to Northern Ireland. And it's great to have visitors from outside of the place coming in to provoke us to think new ways. And incidentally, our guests will be on Talkback tomorrow from 12 on BBC Radio Wall Street. If you haven't heard enough from them, they will be taking calls from everybody else in Northern Ireland, and nobody's going to change their mind there either, because that's how we do it. Anyway, final remarks, starting with you, David. You've got no more than 5 minutes, by which we mean three.
Well, it's interesting. Because I do think, you know, the question that was asked about what would make you change your mind. From a Christian perspective, we have the Holy Spirit. And I've seen many people who are atheists and fundamentalist atheists who've actually changed. And that's what I pray and hope would happen. I'm sorry about the graceless thing. That's a matter of perception. For me, when people abuse and mock Jesus Christ, who I love and who I serve, then I believe it's right to defend that. And I think it's right to be robust in arguments. And I'm afraid one of the things that bothers me about Northern Ireland is you're becoming too much like the southeast of England, where people take offense far too quickly. And I'm sorry if that comes across as, you know, anything we say, anything that Michael says, you know, anyone can find and take offense at. And I find that really rather sad. This whole issue, I'm just, religion corrupts our sense of morality and religion corrupts our sense of reality. I think Michael's position is an extraordinarily faith position. I think it's based upon the view that human beings are basically good, that there are fundamental basic human rights which are there inherently. And what disturbed me greatly about what he said, and this really genuinely has disturbed me, that democracy should be subject to these basic human rights. Who determines what those basic human rights are? And that's one of the concerns that I have, where people are just suddenly making, this is a basic human right, and we're saying that it is. Now, oh, it evolves and it changes. Well, what else is going to change? I don't think same-sex marriage is mentioned because it's the shibboleth issue. But I think there are other things that are there as well. And I do think what I mentioned at the beginning, that we are going to lose a huge amount. When the secular faith bumps into reality, it's going to be quite difficult. I was amused that Michael thinks that communism is gone, or that the unregulated free market, that we just sorted out. Really? Really? You see what's happening in our country? You think that that's going to happen? You think Islam is just going to go away? Is this the Jeremy Corbyn style? Let's just sit down and all be nice and everyone will see? Let me tell you this, that when this has been going on since the 19th century, when people who think that they are part of the Enlightenment don't get their way, sometimes they can become as intolerant as other human beings, because all of us as human beings are screwed up. Prayer does not work. Maybe I want to finish with this. 4 years ago, today, I was in hospital in a coma. My wife was told that I wouldn't live, and that if I did live, I would be severely brain damaged. Well, maybe I have been. Maybe that accounts for the smugness and the gracelessness and so on, and my inability to see the obvious light and reason of enlightenment, secularist atheism, or whatever it is. Maybe I have been brain damaged. Maybe religion is a virus. Maybe we need to eradicate religion, as Richard Dawkins argues. Maybe, as Richard Dawkins argues, as he told a bunch of Catholic intellectuals in Dublin, being brought up in the Catholic Church is worse than being sexually abused as a child. And that's what he said. And he was applauded for saying it. I am very concerned about where all this is going and this antagonism. Prayer does work. I was in a situation where I was not expected to live. My surgeon, who is not a Christian, He attributes my survival to the fact that some kind of miraculous intervention. And yet what will happen is, of course, those of you who are atheists automatically say it can't happen because you live within a closed worldview which doesn't allow for that to happen. I want to argue for a Christian worldview which actually causes more questions and concerns. And I want to say this. When I go home and I have to meet with a guy who's just had a liver transplant or a woman who's dying of cancer or a girl who's struggling with her sexuality, and I'm going to say to them, look, stuff it. That's just the way it is. Bad things happen. We are a blob of carbon, as Bertrand Russell says, floating from one meaningless existence to another. I don't want to live in a world like that. I want to live in a world, Michael mentioned this world. He said, God would do this and God would do this. Actually, God is doing this. God is remaking the world without destroying us as humans, without turning us into robots. And I think that's why he sent his son Jesus, so that people could be changed. I will tell you this. I am frightened at the fundamentalist intolerance that comes both from religions and from atheists and secularist people. I want us to have a more open and more tolerant society, and I want to be able to be free to proclaim who Jesus Christ is without automatically being told, well, you can't stand in Parliament, or you can't do this, or you can't say that. So I just simply, I apologize if I've upset anybody. That's the way that it happens. Michael usually does that fairly well. It's my turn tonight. I really do hope that we will be a bit more open-minded and that we will look. I ain't going to stop digging, but thank you very much.
Your comment there about how another caricaturized version of how atheists would deal with dying and with cancer.
Sorry, I didn't mention how atheists would deal with dying.
No, you referred to cancer.
Yes, I didn't mention atheists, though.
Yes, you did mention atheists.
No, I mentioned how I would.
No. Then you went on to a caricatured version of how atheists deal in terms of saying, oh, there's nothing we can do, et cetera, et cetera. My wife died of cancer a few years ago. And the period between being diagnosed and the time that Anne died was actually one of the best year and a half of our life, because we fully appreciate, and again, coming from an atheistic perspective where we're not depending on seeing each other again in an afterlife, that year and a half was so much more precious than the 25 years that we'd had together up to then. And one of the things about dealing with situations like that, depending on our own natural compassion and empathy, is that because you don't have to worry about what's going to happen afterwards, there is a peace that comes from that. And in fact, statistically, I don't even want to talk about statistics in this context, but I'll have to, statistically, atheists are the least stressed people about dying. Strongly religious people are the next least stressed, and the most stressed people about dying are moderately religious people. I do think that it is a test that I think religious people mistakenly think that atheists have difficulty dealing with, and that's not true. That's not true.
My experience is I accept that.
Okay.
It varies from person to person.
It does indeed. Yeah. In terms of in terms of Northern Ireland generally, I'm optimistic. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that religion has been holding Northern Ireland back. We didn't notice it up to relatively recently, because most of the population was more religious than it is now, and most of the religious population was less secular, in that you can be religious and secular if you support separation of church and state. I think the population has moved on, and to the extent that Christianity is holding Northern Ireland back, it's holding back what the people of Northern Ireland increasingly want, which is a society based on empathy, compassion, democracy, respect for individuals, not majoritarian rule, and a society where decisions are made based on a rationally investigating the currently best available evidence about whatever it is that you're deciding, and then coming to a democratic conclusion, respecting everybody's right to believe in God, to not believe in God, to have whatever religious or non-religious beliefs that they want, but not to allow those beliefs to hold back progress towards democracy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks to David Robertson, thanks to Michael Nugent, and thanks to you for coming tonight. I think some of this might end up on the Slugger O'Toole website or on YouTube or in other places, so you can look at it again. You can listen to a very focused Northern Ireland approach to these issues tomorrow on Talkback after 12. We'll be drilling into the Northern Ireland implications of this question. David will be around later at the back to sign copies of his book if you'd like to chat with him. I'm going to be at the bar with Michael. Oh, and he is paying. He is paying. Tim.
William, you've just been saying thank you very much to Michael and to David, but I think we also want to say thank you to William as well. So should we just express our appreciation to William? And exactly as William said, so there's bookstalls and things outside, there's coffee, there's the bar. Thank you very much for coming.